ladies and gentlemen, to this segment of the Hagmann and Hagmann Report. We're waiting to connect with our next guest, Greg Hunter, U.S. Day watchdog. You know, I don't know how many people out there, I'm going to take this opportunity while we're trying to get him hooked up here. I don't know how many people know of Greg Hunter. This man, he's worked for CNN, he's worked for a lot of the big broadcasters, but this guy, Greg Hunter, is sharp as a tack. As a matter of fact, he's the producer and creator of USAWatchdog.com. And their slogan is analyzing the news to give you a clear picture of what's really going on. And he does that. You know him. I'm sure you know him. Go to USAWatchdog.com. That's USAWatchdog.com. I know you're going to recognize him. You're going to see him and say, hey, I know that guy. And I know you know his material. He's one of the, you know, we can only listen and watch so many news sites. He's on really the top of our list, near the top of our list. He's got it going. Somebody will let me know, right? Somebody will let us know when it's okay. All right. You know, so that's it. So as soon as we get him on, we've got a lot of questions for him. He wrote an article, I think it was today, about the last, the final 2016 presidential election update before voting ends. A tremendous article, a tremendous op-ed piece, and I think it's worthy of the read. You know, I was thinking the other day, and I'm going to bring this down to the studio. I'm going to show you what TexasReady.net has. I cannot wait to show you on air TexasReady.net, their seed banks. They're rated the highest in the world, and folks, I know why. First, they contain regionally appropriate open pollinated heirloom seeds. Most seed banks don't even take into account anything like geographical, regional differences. Hybrid seeds, by the way, are good for only one garden. They don't reproduce true to type. That's why it's necessary to purchase stable heirloom seeds. Check. Second, Texas Ready uses certified seeds. I never heard of such a thing. Most seed banks companies don't because they cost more. TexasReady.net, check. And Texas Ready thinks their customers, our listeners, are worth it. We've got something called the Listener Protection Program. That's what we stand behind because we don't advertise, sponsor anything we don't believe in. The germination rate on their seeds is just outstanding. If you don't know how to garden, TexasReady.net, they've got several excellent reference books. I went through one, and I learned more from that book than you. It's just amazing. They get into... they talk about nutrient-dense food, how to start plants from seedlings, saving seeds correctly, and so on. And how to protect the genetics so you don't inadvertently create hybrids from your heirloom plants. I didn't even know that was possible. You buy a seed bank on how many people you'll be providing food for. They split it up. You know, we two-person, four, six, eight, 12, and so on. They do it right. And Texas Ready seeds come in refurbished U.S. Army ammo cans, which have moisture seals. They work. I looked at these things. They're like tanks. Each Texas Ready seed bank contains 80-plus varieties of vegetables and fruits, including 8 dual-purpose herbs, culinary and medicinal. The larger banks come with training manuals that teach you to garden properly. Folks, check out their website. TexasReady.net. The name really should say it all. You want quality in seeds? TexasReady.net. And I want to get the owner of that company on the air. I've got some questions, and I know you. If you're a prepper, because to me, if you've got a postage size lawn, or if you're in a condominium, or a mobile home, or an apartment, or something. I know they've got answers because I want answers if you're limited on space, because I had so many people ask about that. But anyway, that's something that down the road. But you want quality? TexasReady.net. While we're waiting for Greg Hunter. Oh, he's ready? Or we're still waiting. Okay. All right. Yeah, and sometimes this happens, folks. You know, there's where do you deal with time zones, you deal with, you know, intermediaries, you deal with all sorts of things. So thank you for being patient as we go through things. One thing I want to share with everyone. Okay. Hang on. Talk amongst yourselves, folks.
All right. We're going to try to get him on another avenue.
Okay.
John's working on it.
All right. Well, John, thank you,
brother. Thank you for, yeah. John's been doing a lot of great scheduling.
John Robertson, did he say okay about tomorrow?
Yeah.
Okay. Tomorrow, just so people know, we are teaming up with Canada Free Press. Now, I'm a senior columnist there. I think. I don't think they've kicked me out yet. Judy McLeod, the founding editor of Canada Free Press, is, to me, more American than most Americans, definitely more American than any liberal progressive out there. And she has her finger on the pulse of really what's taking place. Anyway, we're going to be simulcasting at Canada Free Press, on Canada Free Press tomorrow, from 6 p.m. tomorrow through midnight.
Yeah, it'll be one of a kind show.
You might have to prop me up. Purple sticks. There it is, purple sticks.
No, we get the couch in the studio, and Eric can come over and sub.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, no, Eric's going to be on the couch. But you know, I mean, this to me, although it, you know, although politics is theater, Joe, I truly believe that we are at a crossroads. Like what Josh Tully said, the world is going to change tomorrow. Now, the changes may not take effect immediately, and I don't think they will, but there will be events that will be, you know, cast into motion tomorrow that will be planet-altering events, regardless of who wins. And if you really contemplate that, I ask you to pray about that, to prayerfully consider that. We need to do some things to protect us, to protect our families, to watch out, to be the good stewards that we need to be. I was never a guy that really talked about God or talked about faith. I just didn't do that. That wasn't me. But the older you get, the more introspective you get, the more mature, intellectually mature you get, I think that the reality of things sinks in. And then the more you learn about how things work, it's life changing. And that's why we do what we do, folks. And I humbly ask for your support. I don't care if it's prayer or just simply telling someone else about the show. But we, from Eric the Tech, now my daughter, who's serving in an administrative capacity, Joe, myself, we're throwing everything we have into this. It's not for us. It's to get the truth out there. It's for you. We're using our investigative experience, our investigative talents, our investigative contacts. Although this past weekend, it seems like, what happened? It's kind of like losing. I don't know how many police officers or detectives out there. Did you ever lose a witness for a trial? You know what I'm talking about. If you're a detective, you got to make sure a witness gets to trial, and suddenly, you know, it's like the day before, and can't find the witness. Yeah, there's some panic that sets in. Believe me, but it's almost as if there's a culling of the investigative assets out there. There's a culling of the people. There's a firming up of different sides. But plenty of news to go around, plenty of information to go around.
One second on Greg Hunter.
Well, if we don't have Greg Hunter, if somebody says they're Greg Hunter, that's okay. We'll take him too. I'm kidding, Greg. If you're listening, I'm kidding. I'm a big fan of USA Watchdog. In case you haven't noticed, I really, really am a big fan of USAWatchdog.com. I'm a big fan of Greg Hunter's work, of his writings, the people he brings on, and, you know, everything he does. In fact, I could be his stalker, actually. But I'm not. I check his, folks, go to usawatchdog.com. Check his website. Watch his videos, his interviews. This guy is right on the money. You gave me a,
we're good.
Yeah, I didn't know if you gave me the finger.
I just had to message like three different people to let everybody know.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. Well, let's bring him on. Again, Greg Hunter has quite the CV. I mean, quite the resume. And before we do bring him on, I just want to say hello to the listeners. Right now, we've got just a whole bunch of listeners checking in from Europe, all across Europe. Where it's, what are you guys doing up? And of course, all across America, I want to say hello to Patty listening right now live in Panama. Patty in Panama, that's pretty cool. And of course, our regular groups all across the United States, Canada, and South America. Greg Hunter, welcome to the program, sir.
Good to be here. Really good to be here. I know you guys have asked me to be on in a while, and I was telling one of your producers, I didn't mean to disrespect you. I just, you know, I don't have a vast, you know, organization. It's I'm the bottle washer, the cook, the waiter. there you are. How you guys doing?
You know what? Now that you're here, we're doing great, and you do a great job. Let me tell you, you. I'm an admirer of yours. I love your interview style. Well, you know what? It's true. You even despite the fact that you were somewhat contaminated by major media, including CNN and such, you really are hard hitting, and you get the information out there.
When I was there, though, I got to tell you, my wife asked me this the other day. She said, "Were you embarrassed by working at CNN?" I said, "At ABC, no." Because I was doing depleted uranium munitions, I was doing that the economy was not getting better in 2008 at CNN. I was doing you know, depleted uranium munitions is not so depleted. I mean, it's, you know, it's making all these guys sick. Half life of 4.5 billion years. I was confronting people at the Pentagon. This is at CNN. I got some pushback from Jamie McIntyre and Barbara Starr over my depleted uranium munitions and said it was junk science and whatever. I ended up getting it on the air. I was doing, you know, produced the note, the fraud of this, you know, the robo signing, which wasn't a bunch of people signing stuff facts. They were, committing forgery and perjury and fraud on the court because they didn't have the documents. They didn't want to show the court the documents that were fraudulent. So this is, so was I embarrassed at CNN? Not when I was there. They hired me to, I was doing, you know, all this, I was doing stuff with the military inflating their credentials so they got paid more and going to diploma mills, and that was a big problem with that. I did exploding airbags. At ABC and CNN, but that ended. That pretty much ended when I was gone. I mean, I was blowing the whistle on the economy. You can, if you go to my website, I'm not trying to beat my own horn. I mean, it just didn't make me any money, but I was, you can see some of the stuff I was doing at, you know, at ABC. I was in March of 2008, I was telling people that this is not going to be contained, that the market is in jeopardy, and we're in a recession already, and this is going to blow up. And in July of 2008, that's when the party ended for me. They were like, yeah, we're not renewing your contract.
Wow.
Excuse me? What?
And you were getting the goods. I mean, you were
plowing through. I was getting ratings. Dude.
Yeah.
I was having arguments with Ali Velshi about the Fed and about how the subprime was not, this is not going to be contained. I got Jim Sinclair on the air. I had to jump through all kinds of hoops with Jim Sinclair, and he was in town, and they didn't believe, you know, who he was. I said, this guy, he's talking to the EdTech on the American Stock Exchange before, I think it was rolled into NASDAQ, but he was giving a speech to 500 people at the American Stock Exchange. He's a real guy. John Williams, a real guy. They quit anything to do with any of those guys. They actually, CNN Money actually featured John Williams a few times at ShadowStats.com. We know the real stats, the real stuff. You know, the 23% unemployment rate, the 7, 8, 9% inflation. You know, the real stuff.
That's
and
right.
So was I embarrassed when I was there? No, I was not embarrassed. I thought I did good work, and they let me do good work, but that wasn't what they wanted. And then after that, I mean, I guess you guys want to figure out the deal, right? You want to hear the deal? Well, I had interviews at CBS. I had interviews at Bloomberg. I had interviews at NBC. I didn't have any problem with my interns or my expense account, or I would never show somebody my script. I didn't give anybody the ability to edit my work. I mean, I would call and fact check. That's totally different. But then what's happened, I mean, you saw that I would never call up, if I was doing a political story, I would never call up the DNC, which is really Hillary Clinton's campaign, and say, hey, I'm interviewing Jeb Bush. Give me some dirt on him. I'm interviewing Donald Trump. Hey, I'm interviewing Ted Cruz. Give me some dirt on him. Give me your this is that John Harwood was doing this. CNN was doing these. This is what WikiLeaks has shown out. They're not going to recover from this.
You know, I don't think so either.
For the last year to sell GCI, get that stock.
Ooh.
And I'm going to tell you something. You're going to go, hold on a minute. Now, let me tell you something. This is worse than just leaning left, because I'm not a lefty, I'm not a righty. I mean, if the Republicans are in power, you're going to think I'm a left-wing liberal. If the Democrats are in power, you're going to think I'm a hard right, you know, conservative. And that's the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
But they're committing fraud on shareholders. Now, let that sink in. You're the New York Times, and you're holding yourself as a news organization, and you're selling shares of your business, you're defrauding shareholders. Meanwhile, you're defrauding the public. Gannett stock, Gannett GCI, you're holding yourself out as a news organization, and one headline for Gannett says, oh, Comey's reempting the case, and this is a problem for Comey. Really? It's not a problem for Hillary Clinton, who had a private server to cover the fact she was taking treasonous bribes through a phony global charity fraud? I mean, it's not a problem for her? So today, the headline on USA Today, FBI clears Clinton on emails again. And what popped in my head was, FBI looks like a buffoon again. FBI proves that. This is now the headlines are Hillary's cleared again. Oh, FBI proves without a doubt that the government is corrupt again. That there's a soft coup going on. But anyway, I'm sorry, I'll shut up. Fire away. I don't know what else you wanted to know. I got a great 9/11 story if you wanted to know about that.
You know what? I'm Joe and I are kind of inclined just to say, you know, you got the mic, just go for it. Because, man, you're on fire. I love this. I love it. What's your 9/11 story? Go.
Here's my 9/11. So, first of all, listen, what they're doing at the mainstream press is fraudulent. It's not just leaning, it's fraudulent. You have to be a fair arbiter of the truth. I mean, look at Bob Woodward, you know, Mr. Watergate fame.
Yep.
That's like me sticking gum in somebody's hair on the playground compared to this. He should give back his Pulitzer. I hope he's listening to this. He's got 20 people at the Washington Post, that scam of a newspaper, trying to dig up dirt on Trump. You mean you're not going to have 10 people on Trump and 10 people on the global charity fraud that is the Clinton Foundation, and in 2014, what, less than 6% of the money actually went to the actual, you know, all these good they're doing, and Hillary and Chelsea Clinton stories about how she may have paid for her wedding through the Clinton Foundation? You mean you're not going to do any stories on that? I mean, you're not going to do any stories about how Uranium One got sold, you know, out from under us, and we lost 20% of our uranium production. You're not going to do any stories on John Podesta, who got a $35 million payday from the Russians. Meanwhile, you're going to make out like you know, Donald Trump is in bed with Vladimir Putin, which is total bogus. This is fraudulent. This is fraud. New York Times is committing fraud. USA Today, GCI, committing fraud. I've been telling people to sell their stock for over a year. I said, well, I'm going to speak in a language that the CEO can understand. And November 4th of 2015, it was $16.09 a share. And November 3rd, 2015, it was $16.09 a share. And a year later, on November 3rd, it was $7.45 a share. They cut their share price in half. The layoffs are going, you watch, mark my words, they're going to be stunning. the layoffs, the mainstream press. Reuters just laid off 2,000 people. And you know what? That's kind of like when a restaurant closes down. A friend of mine who was in a restaurant business says, well, and they didn't close down because they were serving too many meals and making too much money. Reuters didn't lay off 2,000 people because they were getting too many clicks and breaking too many stories.
That's right.
The layoffs in the mainstream press, and I predict they will never recover from this fraud, this betrayal, this treason. They are never going to recover. Wait until 2017. The layoffs are going to be stunning. It's going to be stupefying how bad this is going to get for them for this.
Well, I think they're required. I mean, are they not required, given the fact that we've got this this organ of the machine out there? You know, I mean, self-inflicted wounds, right?
Without question. I'm telling you that people should look at this like a pure old-fashioned fraud case, shareholder fraud. Anybody who has any of these legacy media companies, sell, sell, sell. Sell, sell, sell. They can't tell the truth. They lie by omission. They have phony stories. The CNN did a story about how Trump was stalking her. As soon as I saw it, I thought, what? I watched the whole debate. I watched every debate. And I thought, what? Stalking her? They were both walking all over the stage. The picture they shot was her walking over across the stage with him in the background. He didn't stalk her. Oh, it's really creepy. It's absolutely unbelievable. The fake and phony stories. And I'll tell you, when I was at the, you know, you asked me, was I embarrassed? Oh, no, man, I'll tell you, when I did any story, listen, we transcribed every interview. This idea that, you know, there was Michael Wolff in USA Today was, they all wrote op-ed pieces about how they had to stop Trump. It was their duty, which is total BS.
Right.
Your duty is to tell the truth. Your duty is to be a fair arbiter of the truth. And when you look at the crimes, Watergate, let's go back to Watergate. Let's go back to Clinton. Nixon erased 18 minutes tape. There was no national security breach, period, the end.
Right.
Nobody made any money. He didn't have a global charity fraud, period. Hillary Clinton, multiple servers. She was extremely careless. I thought Comey set us all up that first time in July that he was going to charge her, and should have. He's a liar. He's incompetent. He's corrupt. He is compromised. He's a buffoon. He's made the FBI look buffoonish and weak.
I have never seen, and I've worked as an operational and informational asset with the Department of Justice and the FBI.
And
I've never seen the morale this torn, that the rank and file agents ready to just, you know, they won't even, the department heads won't even talk or won't even say good morning. Half of them won't even say good morning to Comey. Just as an FYI.
I tell you what, he is up to his ass. So he better hope and pray hope Trump doesn't win, because if he doesn't, he may be a co-conspirator. He may be he abdicated his duty. He did not do his duty. He broke his oath. Yep. People are having this bizarre idea that, well, you know, he didn't charge it because, you know, Obama could pardon her. And you don't take a chance with the president of the United States. You should have charged her ass in July. That was your
Amen.
Duty.
What do you think about the alleged internal revolt with the FBI and Patriot Movement that said that if the FBI doesn't come forward with the evidence on Clinton, that they would, and yet, you know, here's a day later after the FBI closed the investigation, and we still haven't...
Well, yeah, where the hell's the revolt, Greg, that everyone was expecting?
There is no revolt. He hasn't closed the investigation on the Clinton Foundation. They're not going to do anything on that.
Huh.
I mean, this is treason. This is treason. She had private servers. It was so negligent, it was treasonous. People died because of her. We had an asset in Iran that got killed because his name went through her idiotic server with no protection on it whatsoever. Totally unprotected. She
That's
took
right.
treasonous bribes from foreign countries. She has a global charity fraud. I had Charles Artel on talking about it. Total global charity fraud. It's, you know, it's hundreds of billions. It's tens of billions of dollars. It's not two billion. It's tens of billions. It's a flat out charity fraud, which is the easiest thing that would be the thing that is pay to play is harder to prove. But charity fraud, the onus is on the Clintons to prove that's not a charity fraud. They can't do it.
This is perhaps the worst criminal enterprise, or the most obvious criminal enterprise I've ever seen. Greg, we've got a minute before the break.
Former assistant director, agrees with you. He calls it a, quote, huge criminal conspiracy, end quote.
Well, why, you mentioned Bob Woodward here.
He's a douche.
Thank you.
I better not ever be anywhere where he's speaking, and I get to talk.
Okay, I'm glad. Yeah, I mean, seriously, for him to do what he's doing or not doing,
give back your Pulitzer.
Exactly.
You're a weasel.
What has changed? No. Boy, this is a fantastic interview. We're so blessed to have with us Greg Hunter, USAWatchdog.com. Greg Hunter Unplugged. I mean, I love this guy.
Don't
this guy is passionate.
Help me remember.
Yeah,
I want to hear this.
Yeah. When we get back okay. Here in about 3 minutes, we're going to get into the 9/11 story. Greg Hunter, folks, you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report. Follow us on the social networking and subscribe to our YouTube channel as well. As after all, we're looking dapper. Can you just check us out right here on YouTube? And don't forget, tomorrow, the six-hour election special live, CanadaFreePress.com, streaming there as well as YouTube Live and all of our regular venues. We're going to be right back with Greg Hunter right after this.
Segment on this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We are joined this hour with Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com. Now, before the break, we were talking about a number of things, and Greg, I want to give you an opportunity to tell your story on this side, this 9/11 story. We are all ears over here.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I wanted to complete one thought, and that is the idea that reporters like Michael Wolff, saying reporters in USA Today, Michael Wolff, are doing this of their own volition. Oh, really? The inmates are running the asylum? That they had an op-ed piece in the New York Times saying that they had to do it. It was their duty. Let me tell you something, how tightly controlled the networks are, the newspapers are, and I know this for a fact. I would never pitch a story for Donald Trump's women. I would never pitch the stupid stories that they did. Number one, what does this have to do with the election? I mean, maybe Trump University, sure, yes, that would be a legitimate story. But these women, I couldn't source it. Once you started putting this to scrutiny, there's no way I would kill the story. I would say, there's no damn way I could do this story. You're going to look stupid doing this story. You know, if you have witnesses or whatever, you can't make this story fly. All that to say this. When I did a story, we transcribed every word of every interview. We would write a script. My producers, we would write a script. We would send the script and all the transcribed interviews to the lawyers, to standards, to legal. They would look at what we chose in terms of sound bites, and then they would look at the overall transcript of what was actually said, and they would sometimes correct us or add additional information. I'd never do a soundbite where I cut it off and made it look like the person was saying one thing or doing another thing. I would never do that. And so that's how tightly controlled this is. For anybody to think that the reporters, the inmates are running the asylum, you're crazy. Management knows all about this. Shelley Ross was the executive producer of Good Morning America. I never walked by the control room down there in Times Square and said, "Hey, Shelley, you're going to love my story on, you know, exploding airbags or on, diploma mill fraud in the military. You're going to love seeing it for the first time." I just put this up myself. I'm just going to, I gave the tape to the producer. It's back there in the back. You're going to love it after it rolled. That never happened. It was super tightly controlled. So anybody that doesn't think, and any of the stuff that these people did, not a single firing, you know, David Muir at these parties, and, you know, all these top people at ABC, NBC, CBS at these parties for Clinton's kickoff party, for her campaign, you know, two or three days before, top operatives in the kick. No way. There's no way you should do that. Unbelievable. I was on the Forbes show. This is after he ran for president. So there was no political nothing. He wasn't involved in anything. He just had a party, Steve Forbes.
Right.
And he actually used to date Marilyn Monroe. My wife knew that. She's my working girl. And he said, just his dad did. Steve Forbes' dad did. Dated Marilyn.
Oh, okay.
Excuse me. What's her name? National Velvet. Cleopatra. What's her name? Oh, come on, big star. She did National Velvet. She was in Cleopatra. Come on.
Derek,
before my time.
Come on, help me out. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Hair,
okay.
Beautiful. She had
not
white
Liz
diamonds
Taylor.
As a perfume.
Liz
Taylor.
Not,
Elizabeth Taylor.
Let me tell
you,
before
your time, if you saw a picture of Elizabeth Taylor when she was like 23, holy cow, there's no wonder why she was
not
a star.
Not before
anyway,
my time, but okay, yeah, I got you.
The long and short of it is, at the end of the day, I mean, you know, this is Steve Forbes. He had a helicopter on the top deck. He was giving rides. I was telling my wife, you know, no, we can't take any rides. We can't do that. We can have dinner. That's it. That's all we can do. But he wasn't, and he didn't have any political. He had already ran for president. And he wasn't going to, there was nothing there. I mean, at the end of the night, he gave everybody swag bags. Oh, can't take that. I'm sorry, Steve. We can't take that.
Right.
But thank you for having us over for dinner. Had everybody with a limousine. This is everybody, ABC and CNN and the business and CNBC and I guess Bloomberg was there at the time. I don't know if Fox was there and started their business channel yet. They were sending everybody home in limousines. My wife and I hooked it out to the street down on West End Avenue or 11th, I guess, down that far. And we took a cab home. Okay?
Right.
But there is no way that not a single person has been fired. Donna Bazell, you know, the second time that she had questions, now there's multiple times, you know, they didn't let go of her or she didn't quit until the second. Why didn't they fire her the first time? Why didn't any of these people get fired?
You're talking about CNN now, right?
Not a single person got fired or reprimanded or you know, hey, you're going to lose 2 weeks' pay. Go home. Nobody, not a single person got fired. That means management is fully behind it. That's my point.
Wow.
The management of ABC, NBC, CBS, USA Today, you know, Wall Street Journal fired this reporter, DaCosta, who dared to ask Janet Yellen, hey, you had slipped out information and people made money on it. Then in short, I'll give you the cliff notes, you stopped a investigation in the Senate, you know, to figure out what happened. He got fired at the Wall Street Journal. Fired. Nobody, not a single person. So I just want to tell you guys that this isn't the reporters. The reporters, I know I was one. And I was at a pretty, I didn't do here tip, see tip, run, you know, oh, there's a fire. There's a drought out here in California. I didn't do any of that stuff. I did stuff that was, you know, the TV stuff that people went, oh, I can't believe you said that. You know, I can't believe you put that on the air. And so, it is super tightly controlled. The reporters do not run the operation. They do not wag the tail. Everything
right.
is tightly controlled. That's why this is fraud. So anybody that gives you the idea, oh, well, it's the reporters in their own volition. No, no, no. The inmates do not run the asylum. My 9/11 story.
Go for it.
So I'm out. I did a dishwasher story involving General Electric. Oh, it was a great story. They had a recall, but they only had a recall for apartment complexes, and they had over a million dishwashers, and they would catch fire, and there's all kinds of fires all
that.
Over the place. Fires,
yep.
And the switches would stay on. If you ever have a dishwasher, always leave the thing unopened to you where it doesn't close all the way because it disconnects it. But they had a bad circuit in the thing. They had a video. I love video to fix something. You know, it shows that they know that's going on, right? So you have to make it up. You know, everything I did was such a tight case. I mean, I had to make sure everything was perfectly done. And so I do this story about the dishwashers. I'm out in Colorado doing the story and about how that they were recalling it for some, but not for most people. Left the dishwashers in their houses, and I dug up fire. I had to do all this research to find all the fires that were the point of origin. It was the dishwasher, the General Electric dishwasher. Anyway, I killed it. And the day I came out with that story, I thought, wow, I killed this story. And I left the studio, and that was 9/11.
Oh.
And I'm out in, I don't know, wherever the Air Force Academy is, and I'm out, and we're going to our next story, because that's why I was out there doing a live shot from the place out there, and I actually had to turn around at the Air Force Academy. It gets better. Hold on. I had to turn around at the Air Force Academy and said, some planes just flew into some buildings. I said, this is not a joke. I'm just going to turn around here, but you may want to be on guard. And this was, they had sidearms. I mean, they were really, I said, don't take my word for it. I'm with ABC. I'm Greg Hunter. Just call your bosses. It's on TV right now. And then I turned around and left. Well, I was out in Colorado Springs. That's where the Air Force Academy is. Colorado Springs. And, all of a sudden, all the planes, poof, boom, nobody's flying, grounded everything. And so I go to the airport and I try to rent a car, and that was the body style change from 99 Lumina to the Chevy Impala, and I want to rent a car. I need to, where are you going? I'm driving across the country. Well, where are you going? I'm going to New York. Well, where in New York? Well, New York City. Oh. Well, we'll rent you a Lumina, but we're not going to rent you a new Impala. That's what they read to me. So I drove across the country, and for 2 days, or for 24 hours, because my wife was in New York, and I was freaking out, and I had to get home to her. And so I'm driving across the country, and I never see any of this video now. I didn't see it until the next year. I didn't see any of the video of the planes hitting the buildings. I'm just hearing the description. I'm thinking to myself, that is a freaking Superfund site. I mean, These things turned to powder.
Yeah.
At two buildings turned to powder. I know one of them has asbestos in it. I think they both have asbestos. Nope, only one. Only one had asbestos in it. Only one had asbestos for 30 floors. You know how I know that? Because I start looking into doing a story, and I'm thinking to myself, when I get home, then all the video of these guys on this damn pile down there burned for 1,000 hours. I lived 4 miles north of it on 63rd and West End. It burned for 1,000 hours. I went down to Spitzer, who was the attorney general. I'm sorry he had all that stuff. He was actually a pretty good attorney general. He helped me with the dishwasher fire, incidentally. But he had his deal. But he was a nice guy. He was a good attorney general. He just had, women things, right? That he liked to, with the whole Dupree. Anyway, I don't want to get into that. I saw the building from his office, right? And I'm thinking, all these people are down here. And I start doing research on it. Okay, so it's all research-driven. So you don't walk in and just do a story at the networks. It's like doing a movie. You have to budget for it. You have to know who's going to say what. You're going to do a story. Who's your expert? The top occupational therapist at Caesar Sinai Hospital. I call over to him. Can't remember his name. His mentor, who he worked with. This is how I know there's only 30 floors of asbestos in the world in Tower One. He figured out that asbestos caused cancer, and they were spraying the posts in there, and it was wafting over to Brooklyn. So they stopped doing that. So only 30 floors had asbestos. That didn't stop the buildings from falling down. And I think there's all kinds of stuff that the government story doesn't match. But anyway, so I'm thinking to myself, he said, only 30 floors on this one building, but shit, that's enough, he says. He says, and I'll tell you something else. There's so many PCBs and heavy metals and everything down there. That's a Superfund site. That was his words. That's a Superfund site. I said, well, what about the guys down there with the little paper mask? He said, oh, hell, you might as well wear a sock on your face. It's nothing. You might as well wear nothing. Everybody down there needs to have a full respirator. At the very least, they really all need to be in hazmat suits. Now, 20 blocks away, no. But on that pile, all those first responders, I said, holy crap. Will you say that on the air? He said, yeah. So I write this thing up. Boom, boom, boom. It's a Superfund site. They need to have full respirators. It's contaminated like hell. All those people, just so you know this, I'm taking you back now. I know this for a fact. They were already down there at the hospitals for this massive amount of casualties. You know how many people came to the hospital? I think 12. You either got out or you died. Period. And I write this story up, and I pitch it to ABC Good Morning America. I pitch it to World News Tonight. And I'm running around town before I go down, because I think, oh, shit, I'm going to be sent down there. I'm going to be sent down. It's still burning. It burned for 3 weeks after I got back into town. 1,000 hours. I'm thinking, hell, I'm going to be sent down there. So I'm going around to Genovec Hardware, that's the hardware store up there, I don't know if it's still there, and I'm buying these respirators that have these screw-on metal cartridges that are down to 5 microns. I have to know all this stuff. That's how good it has to be. Something you could paint a car in. And I'm running around buying this stuff because I think, oh my God, I got extra cartridges. I expensed it through ABC. I'm going to have to get sent down there. I need to go talk to Mayor Giuliani. He's going to have to put a kibosh on that and get everybody who's down there is going to have a damn respirator. They wouldn't do the damn story. I had the top occupational therapist at Caesar Sinai Hospital who told me that was a damn Superfund site. Oh, hell yeah, everybody needs to have a respirator. What happened to those firefighters?
Exactly. How many lives?
Bing, 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 bing. I couldn't get World News tonight to do it. They thought I was crazy. I could. Then you had, what's his name, Christy Todd Whitman. Oh, it's safe down there, you lying bitch.
Whoa.
You liar. People got sick. Hundreds of first responders got sick. Those people were dead. They weren't going to come back. The people that we had to protect were the first responders, and we didn't do it, and I had the story nailed damn down. I had it. People wouldn't have liked it. You know, they were, oh, Wall Street, we got to get Wall Street back and running. No, you don't.
It's all about the money, isn't it, Greg?
Well, the ABC would not. They would probably tell you that I expensed the stuff. This is, 15, 16 years ago. I couldn't believe it. I called over to World News Tonight. I finally said, well, here, let me give you the respirators. Everybody should have them. They had them stolen out of the truck. What happened to all those firefighters? What happened to all those first responders? I had a friend of mine I gave one to that I bought with my own money and said, here, I'm not going to be sent down there. They're not going to send me down there. Other people were, Don Daler, who worked at Good Morning America, was sent down there. I don't know what happened to him. All the first responders, hundreds of people got all these freaky cancers and all this stuff. Every damn cadaver dog died within a year from down there.
Yep. A lot of funerals, Greg. And in fact,
I had that story, and they passed on it. They wouldn't even talk to me. They wouldn't. I wrote it all up. This wasn't just some. I worked on it. I knew all these details. I had respirators. I knew how many microns they were good to. I had the top, he was an MD, incidentally. He was an MD at Caesar Sinai Hospital. Pretty good source, don't you think?
I would think so.
You'll say this on camera. Yes, I will.
Yes.
We needed to go. I said, well, it's a simple story. You get him on camera. You go down there to see all these people with no damn mask on. You go to the mayor's office. It's not his fault. Was it Giuliani's fault? He's not evil. He just didn't know what the hell was going on. And you say, hey, you need to get a truckload, a plane load of respirators in here pronto, tomorrow. Meanwhile, listen, those people are dead. Just stop it. Stop. Get those people off that pile. But hell no.
Well, Greg... Greg, look, listen, Hillary Clinton figures into this as well. When she was, and tell me if you, covered this aspect of the story. When she was senator of New York, there was money earmarked for air conditioners, air cleaners. We're talking, I think, $2 billion of state funds, federal funds combined, matching funds to, dispatch.
Was she elected 2000?
Was she
2000?
2000, right, 2000, she was sure. U.S. Senator.
2000 to 2006.
Something like that, right.
Yeah, okay.
Now there was, do you know about her activities with respect to the money there?
I don't know about her. I don't know about that part of the story. All I know is about the story that was the most critical down there was when it was burning and when they were on the pile. When all those first responders were down there, every one of them should have had minimum, should have had a full respirator on and replaced the cartridges probably daily. They should have been checking the cartridges to see how fast they were filling up. You know, there would probably be lead and heavy metal and PCBs and asbestos and, 30 floors on Tower 1. You think, oh, it's only 30 floors. That was a lot of asbestos.
Well, heck yes.
There was a lot of stuff down there. It was a super fun site. I'm telling you, it was horrible. And he said, well, at least in a 20-block radius. Now, out past that, it would probably dissipate pretty good. But the guys on the pile, the people on the pile.
And you had that story.
Without question. Yes, without question. I had that story. How would I remember that kind of detail if I didn't do all this research?
Well, no.
Because our stories lived and died on what's he going to say. Because, you know, you never saw this. You never saw this. You never saw Mike Wallace, you know, say, stop the interview. Hell, I didn't know that. Well, this is in this story. That never happened.
Right.
That never happens because you know what they're going to say, basically. Not that you're going to tell them what to say, but you pre-interview them. And then you ask them, will you say that or something like that? You'll say that on camera. You'll stand by that statement. Oh, yeah. You'll say that on camera. Yes. Okay. I mean, I had the quotes down. I said, he'll say this or something like it. Not because I told him to say it, because I was interviewing him. Well, tell me about what's going on. Tell me about how bad it is. Tell me, and I'm writing down, I said, I'm doing the pre-interview. I'm doing the research for it so we don't look stupid. I would have got an interview with Rudolph Giuliani and said, hey, and I'm sure he would have said, oh, hell yeah, oh my, I didn't know that. Mm. Who would have known that? Nobody knew that. Christy Todd Rittman should have known that. She should have known that. She was the head of the
Yeah.
Oh, she was the, they had the snifters out there. Where'd they put the snifters? Here's another scam. You know where they put the snifters? You know, so basically, Manhattan is an island, and it basically goes north to south. Okay?
Right.
Not quite perfectly, but so the wind blew, you know, west to east. That's why when, Brooklyn is east of Manhattan, and that's why when they were spraying the towers with asbestos, it was wafted over into Brooklyn, right? And so, but you know where they put the snifters from the EPA? They put it on the western edge of lower Manhattan. Oh, hey, it's great. Look at this. Glare's clean. Sure was.
What? You might as well stuck them in the Poconos. I mean,
that's
really.
Right. You might as well stuck them in the Poconos. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, I was down there. I was down there just right after 9/11 happened.
It stunk. My God, you didn't have a respirator. I went down one time with my wife, and she started coughing. Coughed for days afterwards, and we weren't even right on the pile.
Yeah. You even got within a block, well, a couple blocks of that, and you could smell. I mean, it was horrible. Wow.
Those people died, and there's unbelievable amounts of pain and suffering and cancer and stuff could have been greatly, at the very least, and I'm not a doctor, but come on. It burned for 1,000 hours. So, you know, if you had that in a zone down there where everybody had a respirator, well, they wouldn't have opened Wall Street in a week now, would they? Because it was right down there. The occupational head of occupational research at Caesar Sinai Hospital gave it a 20-block radius. About a 20-block radius. Well, 20 blocks. Mm-hmm. In New York City, people don't realize that 20 blocks is 1 mile.
Okay.
20 blocks is 1 mile. So when you look at, I'm at 63rd and West End, and that's all the way up in, you know, 85th Street. But that's a little more than a mile. Mm-hmm. So that was a mile. So that was how big the radius was. Well, Wall Street, that was right. Yeah, that was, Wall Street was in that.
Yeah.
And so that was terrible. I mean, that was horrible. I had a friend of mine who worked at the Federal Trade Commission down at the very, very tip of Manhattan. I mean, back where the 1 and 9, you know, came down and circled around underground, and she was basically sat on top, nearly on top of the 1 and 9. She was down the day it happened. And I gave her a respirator and said, please, please, no matter what anybody tells you, listen to me. You wear this thing every time you get off that train and every time you walk, you know, whatever she did. Anyway, that's my 9/11 story.
Thank God. Wow. Well, I got to tell you, it's an important story. And folks, I hope you understood and heard exactly what he said, because I've heard this from first responders. Dave from Long Island, who calls our show occasionally. There's his story right there. Greg, we only have about 7 minutes left of the show. I can't believe it. This has gone by like a flash, but I got to get your take. What's your take on tomorrow? What's your take on the election? I think we know how you feel about the Clinton criminal cabal.
Well, listen, you have to have, when you're doing stories, you have to have, that's what standards and practices was, where do you put your resources? Because you got to do a story on everything. And you really have a person, and I'm not a Democrat and I'm not a Republican, but what they did to Donald Trump was so awful. I did nothing but cover this, and USA Today was my poster child for fraud. I even called USA Today several times and got statements from them about what they were doing. I mean, they had one thing, and I still have it inside my desk. I mean, this is a fraud. Clinton Nation. Remember that front page article?
You were holding up USA Today.
Article of,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, remember that? Like, they were trying to... Oh, incidentally, the chief information officer, chief content officer, she's on the Council of Foreign Relations, Senator Joanna something, Lipman. And Clinton Nation...
Right.
I said, you got to be kidding me. I still have it here, right here in my hot crib. 725-16. Clinton, as if there was a overall arching desire for Hillary Clinton, and that's not true. And does Trump say stupid stuff sometimes? He say, oh, God, I can't believe he said it. Yes, but listen, he didn't commit perjury and national security breaches and take bribes from foreign countries and ran a global charity fraud. I mean, you can't... It's unbelievable. So I think that the president talking about how illegals can vote. He's telling illegal aliens to illegal. That's another thing they said. Undocumented at CNN. No, undocumented. They're illegally here.
Yes.
Undocumented. No, they're not undocumented. They're illegally here. And him telling, I just think there's a smell of desperation. I think that I had Cliff High on, and he said, you know, listen, you could just by simple metrics, I mean, Trump's beating Clinton by 25-1. He is killing her by 10-1. Are they going to try to steal it? Are they going to? I think they are absolutely freaking out. They settled this transit strike in Pennsylvania. I don't think there's any early voting there. They settled this transit strike. I don't think that's going to help. I think he's going to win it and win big. And I think
you do,
because I don't think Hillary Clinton, they don't like her. I mean, look, they wouldn't even cover her Trump had it right when he said she has to have Jay-Z and Beyonce with her on stage, otherwise nobody's going to come. They had what's his name in Cleveland,
LeBron James. Yeah,
and they got Drew 3,400. I mean, that's,
yeah,
how
yeah.
many would they have drawn if you would LeBron James wouldn't have been there? I mean, think about that. I mean,
true.
The guy that won an NBA championship came home to win an NBA championship. He's a legend. I think he's misguided by voting for her because black people have done terrible under these policies. I mean, they just look at any metric you can look at. But what my take on it is they've been unbelievably unfair. They have pulled out all the stops. Not a single person has gotten fired because they are desperate. They are desperate, and they are freaking out. Because Trump was never supposed to do this well. I think he'll make a pretty good president, frankly. He just has to be fair, and he has to have good people around him.
Amen
and I
that.
Think what they're going to try to do, the neocons, are going to try to load his, this is what Paul Craig Roberts told me, and I thought it made sense, because he was in a Reagan administration. He says, it took Paul Craig Roberts a long time. He was a father of Reaganomics.
Right.
You know, he was,
right.
got the economy going. He says, my day, you know, we used to step our foot on the gas for 6 months and let our foot off. And what's this, how long is this going on? What, 7 years? I mean, that's how bad the economy is. But I think he'll be a good president. But the other thing, and this is the sad thing, that we are really hiring somebody to pilot the ship when it's rubbing on the rocks and waves are coming over the bow, and because it's going to be rough sailing. We're going to have a horrible 2017, 2018. It's going to be rough. And whoever is going to be at the helm is going to just have a really tough time. I mean, we're going to lose probably a world reserve currency status. If not, we're going to have a major challenge with the yuan that just got put into the basket of SDR, special drawing rights currencies. I think people may sell our bonds on the 9th. There may be a big panic going on. I had one of my viewers said, hey, you know, my bank card said, my bank told me that my app that where I bank wasn't going to work from the 9th to the 14th.
Oh, wow.
I think Wells Fargo is in big trouble. They wouldn't have committed all this fraud. This is my opinion. They wouldn't have committed all this fraud. There was a Zero Hedge story that said they lost, I don't know, 10 or 15% of their base. They had basically a soft bank run.
Yep.
I think the banks are in horrible shape. I think that Wells Fargo being sucked up by a J.P. Morgan like WaMu was is not going to be almost impossible to happen. There'll be a lot of losses. There's going to be big disruptions no matter who is elected, but I hope it is Donald Trump. Just because I am now in the camp of I hate the mainstream media. I am disgusted by them. They have fallen so far from what they were, and I don't need to work for them, and I'm never going to work for them again. I'm never going back.
From what I've seen, Greg,
a successful operation. I can say what the hell I want. I can say what needs to be said.
And from what we've seen, from everything I've seen from you, read from you, you've got one terrific organization, one terrific enterprise. And folks, I would urge everyone to listen to Greg Hunter, watch him. I love your reports, by the way.
And I want to close with one thing I wanted to tell you about.
Go ahead.
And I'm not going to read it to you, but I am going to tell you that, and I am not ashamed of being a Christian, okay? And I'm not a preacher, but you need to go read Psalm 140. You need to read Psalm 140. Lord, rescue me from evil people. Preserve me from those who are violent. Oh, you mean like the dirty tricks they were pulling with Trump rallies? Their tongues sting like a snake. Their poison of a viper drips from their lips. Oh, Lord, keep me out of the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from those who are violent and who are plotting against me. The proud have set a trap for me. They have stretched out a net. They have placed traps all along the way. Lord, if they, you are my God. Listen, Lord, to my cries of mercy. Sovereign Lord, my strong savior, you protected me on the day of battle. Lord, do not get into their evil desires. This is a point that gets really cool. This is written before Christ. Do not let their evil schemes succeed. Let my enemies be destroyed by their very evil they have planned for me. All these phony polls, all this fake news, all this stuff. Let burning coals fall down on their heads, or throw them into the fire or into deep pits in which they cannot escape. Don't let liars prosper here in our land. Cause disaster to fall with great force on the violent. But I know the Lord will surely help those who they persecute. He will maintain the rights of the poor. Surely the godly are praising your name, for they live in your presence. Psalm 140, that was from the New Living Translation Bible. It could have been written yesterday.
Amen to that. Greg, you've been fantastic. Thank you for closing out with Psalm 140. I would urge everyone to open your Bibles to that passage. Watch Greg Hunter. To check him out, usawatchdog.com. Greg, thank you so much for appearing with us tonight. God bless you.
And
God keep you safe. All right, brother. Thank you.
Folks, we'll be back tomorrow with our six-hour election coverage starting 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Until then, stay safe. God bless. Have a good night.